How good that we can meet in peace in these perilous times. So soon we have come to the second last of our series. Time flies. Now I turn you back to our original first passage of Scripture in Genesis 12. To remind us and refresh our memory of God's call to Abraham. Try and understand and visualize in the land that is Iraq today. There lived this very successful farmer type. Age 75. And the Lord said to him, I want you to move house. Genesis 12, please. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, Abraham departed. As the Lord had spoken, he obeyed. And that is the beginning of God's eternal plan of salvation for mankind. A man called out. Today we are going to talk about the Jews who are blessed today, some 4,000 years after that call, when God had promised to bless Abraham and his seed. How can it be? Please understand, the call and the promise was unconditional. God did not say, Abraham, if you and your seed obey me. No, nothing. If you will move house, I will bless you. How can it be? It's amazing, isn't it? Why did God make such a, you might think, a rash promise to bless your seed? Regardless, we have a God of all wisdom, who knows the end from the beginning, and he surely knows what he is doing. Please turn now to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 46. Isaiah 46. Here we are going to read the amazing revelation of who our God is. What he is. Do you know him? Do you know God's amazing wisdom? Imponderable. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Here the Lord speaks to us, to you, in case you do not know him well. Know him well tonight from this verse, where the Lord speaks to us in order to reveal himself to us. Verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. For I am God, and there is none like me. He is the only, supreme, self-existent God. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure." And jump about three lines. "I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass." This is God speaking. God does not have to depend on you or me or on anyone else or on circumstances or on the future of the Jews. No. God says, "I will do it." We have a promise-keeping God, one who knows and who is faithful. How well do you know this God? He has promised to bless you when you follow Him. And that promise stands regardless. When you call to Him, He always answers you. So here is the background to our talk tonight. Jews who made a difference. We're not talking of fiction. We're talking of history and fact and real life persons, people whom we can name, so that in the studying of the Jews today, our faith may be strengthened. Why did we choose this series? What for? In order that you may, out of these scripture lessons, understand the character and the nature of God. And in that understanding, put your faith in Him. For He is worthy of your trust. Why? Because He is a promise-keeping God. What He says He will do. Without fail. He is not a man. So, I'm going to take you through some amazing facts about the Jews. Now we are talking of things happening today. About 4,000 years, more or less, since Abraham heard the call. Has God changed? The same God, 4,000 years ago. Has He changed? Our God changes not. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Whereas we change, and mankind is changing all the time, changing for the worse. Today's mankind, compared to the day we founded the BP Church 60 years ago, man is much more advanced in knowledge and technology and science. But man is also much more wicked. In the year 1999, the authors of the Time magazine thought of something they should commemorate. 99 is going to be 2,000 years in the calendar the next year. Surely we must think of the beginning of a new century. In one century, they asked themselves, who can we name as the outstanding man of society in the 20th century? Now, can you guess? If you are following this series carefully, it is obvious. Must be a Jew, isn't it? And it was. Will you vote for him? Time magazine says, we identify this man. Who is he? His name is Einstein. A Jew out of the bowels of Abraham. All these years, there's now one of his race. And the
Time magazine says he is the one who has impacted humankind the most of all human beings in the 20th century. Did you know? If you don't, now you know. Yeah. What is he known for? A great scientist and philosopher. One who thought deeply. One whose thoughts impact society greater than anyone else. He is well known for his theory of relativity. Yes. And out of that came a great deal of knowledge that this man, in his brain, God gave him the ability, but this man, did you know, did not believe in God. Amazing. Did God then punish him and say, I don't give you the wisdom? No. Because as I said, his promise was unconditional. Whether you believe in me, whether you honor me or not, if you're a Jew, I'm going to bless you. And we've gone through that many a time. So Einstein is honored because he impacted society most of all, above anyone else in the 100 years. Albert Einstein. All because of that great and wonderful promise. What was that promise? God said to Abraham, I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. All the world will be blessed because of you. Did God forget his promise? Or vary it after a while and says, no, actually I promised him too much. I think of some of it. That's what man does, isn't it? You suddenly make a promise to your child and after a while you say, yeah, I said too hastily. And you call the son and say, hey, I'm going to change that promise. Not God. God does not change his mind. Jews have been a blessing to men in so many ways. And I have here classified them. Jews have blessed society in the arts. Things like history, in the understanding of the arts. Academics. Business. Do you know that in business, many Jews are outstanding leaders? Medical science, we doctors know of many outstanding names, but I never knew they were Jews until I did this research. Finance, we'll come to detail of these. Philanthropy. Jews are famous for being miser Jews, don't they? We all understand this saying, miser Jews. Of course, there are some who are very miserly. But when it comes to giving, there is no other section of society that can outgive the Jews. In leadership, and so we will go through these one by one. In the arts, music, one of the arts, orchestra conductors, directors of Broadway musicals, great photographers, great architects, movie directors, all these are very well known. Now we go on to some details. Business, we take business first. When you wear these jeans, who made them? Levi. Who's Levi? A Jew. You know, the Russians tried to imitate
And they found they could not make jeans properly. They had to call in Levi. Please come. Come to Moscow and teach us how to make jeans. You think it's so easy? The Jews' mind has invented the jeans. Those of you who are in dress and clothing in business, Ralph Lauren, did you know that he's a Jew? Calvin Klein, line 3, he's a Jew. All these are the fashion dictators. They rule the fashion world. When they make everybody copies, who are they? Jews. Line 2. Ladies, take note. Helena Rubinstein. All your cosmetics concocted by Jews. Estee Lauder, another Jew. In the old days, I used to admire people who wear fashion trousers. Sex. Wow, S-A-K-S, sex. Sears, you go to America, the biggest department stores, Sears Roebuck. In England, Marks and Spencer, even Singapore has a branch of Marks and Spencer. You know that, the Jews. Starbucks coffee, wow. Every time you drink, I'm drinking a Jew concoction. Haagen-Dazs ice cream. So next time you taste it, thank the Jews. Those of you growing too fat, they say, Jews also help you. Weight Watchers, Slim Fast. They all look after you. You're getting fat as well as you're getting thin. So wonderful, the Jews, aren't they? Now come to something more contemporary. Now everybody knows computers except me. Except I bought 2 computers. And each time when I was going to buy, I asked my daughter, she says, go to Dell. So I bought 2 Dells. Here it is. I never knew they were Jews. They're made in Penang. Assembled in Penang. So you send your order and they send down from Penang. But the mastermind behind the biggest computer business in the whole world is Dell. Did you know they're Jews? Microsoft. Nobody thought they were Jews. They are hidden inside there. The inventor of Microsoft is a Jew. Google, wow. Grew from small into a big multi-million biggest search engine. Oracle, Intel, Yahoo, wow. Did you know? I thought Yahoo was some kind of funny people. Call themselves Yahoo. He's a Jew. eBay, I don't know what that is. Jeff Skoll, IAC, all these are Jews. And many more. This OHP is too small. Now come to those who are doctoring and nursing. When we studied medicine, we all studied Ehrlich. He invented all those dyes and things. And he discovered the science of immunology. To find out whether you are immune or not, they take your serum. And they can analyze the serum and find out whether you are immune to, say, whatever disease. Immunology. A Jew called Ehrlich. Cholera has a vaccine to treat and cure cholera called Hefkin. We studied this in medical school, but I never knew they were Jews. Now, the most important that I can mention here that you all are very happy to know how fortunate we are that there are none of us here who have children who have polio. In the old days, polio was rampant. Every now and again, you get children in families who are hit by polio and become lame in one leg or arm or somewhere. It invades the nerves, the nerve roots.
until Mr. Salk created a vaccine. If your child is born, just inoculate with the vaccine. And then came along Sabin, who improved, a better vaccine. So today, is there any of our children who have polio? Polio was so rampant, even the American President Roosevelt had polio in one leg. And it is crippling, thanks to two Jews called Salk and Sabin. Diphtheria. Do you get diphtheria nowadays? No, we don't see diphtheria anymore. But in my time, regularly we see children coming in with diphtheria in the throat. And that diphtheria grows a membrane that shuts out the air passage and the child will die. Amazing. Until Mr. Schick came along and he made a medicine for diphtheria. Wasserman discovered an immunology test for those who have syphilis. What is syphilis? One of the venereal diseases that is crippling, that infects a person and causes crippling disease. And we all had to learn the Wasserman test to test whether a person has got syphilis. Now we come to medical science, number two. Typhoid is quite common. We take bloods and have the serum tested. By a certain test, you know whether a person is immune to typhoid or not. Today, almost nobody here will ever get typhoid because you can get inoculated. And the man who did it was Vidal. Then blood groups. Before the understanding that there are groups of blood, all of us have blood, but all of us have one of four groups, either O or A or B or AB. And there are subtypes. Who discovered them? Landsteiner, Levine, Wiener. All of them are Jews. How is it? I never saw any Chinese name. And Chinese are so many times more. Why didn't we invent them? Well, you didn't have a father called Abraham. That makes all the difference. Because God promised, I will bless you. And your children will bless the world with all these wonderful things. Cortisone. There are so many diseases today that are treated with cortisone. Asthma, for example. And who discovered cortisone? A man called Reichstein. When I was found to have this slow heart, my pulse rate was 27. I didn't know. My cardiologist was shocked. He says, "Hey, why did you call me?" I said, "Call you for what?" I said, "Did you feel it?" I said, "I felt nothing." "Look, your pulse was 27. What's your pulse?" "Take your pulse. Normal is 70 to 80. Normal, 70 to 80. 72 minus 27. And she says, "Now you need a pacemaker." Here is the pacemaker inventor called Zoll. So I am wearing now here one on my chest. Thank God for you. There are millions of people on planet Earth today who are kept alive by the Jews, who invented not just the pacemaker, but the defibrillator. Those who get heart attack and temporary, they're dead. Put on the defibrillator, an electric shock, heart comes to life again. Who did it? A Jew. Amazing, isn't it? Now comes, you think the miser Jew? No. Jews in finance, everybody has heard of Goldman Sachs. Well, his name suggests money also. He's called a Goldman. Goldman Sachs. Lehman Brothers, how many here were hit when his shop closed down? I'm sure there are people here who were affected, who had put that money, their life savings into Lehman Sachs. And when the time came, wow, Mr. Lehman closed down. And you get poorer. But he is in finance, and he is in finance because he is a Jew. So many Jews, Bear Stearns, Solomon Brothers, Rothschilds, Warburgs, and others. Now you think all of these get rich. How did they get rich? My brother used to coin a slogan there. Economy is the mother of prosperity, right? You don't spend big, but you save big. And in saving, you might gain a reputation. Miser Jew. They don't only advantage in, collect money, but never give up. Is that true? No, it's not true. They know how to collect money. So do the Chinese. I think the Chinese are not far behind in collecting money. Now, Jews in philanthropy. What is philanthropy? You love your fellow men. Philanthropy. Phil is to love. Anthropy is fellow human beings. You love fellow men. How do you love them? You love by giving to them. And so, in America, a survey was done of the most generous in the nation. And it was found that of those who give liberally, 19 out of 50, which is about 38, which is nearly 40%, were Jews. Now, do you remember I told you, what percentage of humanity is Jews? How many percent? 0.2, not 2, not 2%. 2% means 2 in 100. 0.2 means 2 in 1,000. If this hall is filled with 1,000 people, there will be 2 Jews. So that is the percentage of Jews in society. But when it comes to giving, they are 38%. Think of it. Why? Because God said to Abraham, you will be a blessing. Your people will give to society and bless them with funds for relief, for education, for all kinds of things. In 5 years, nearly these people, the 19, they didn't give small change, you know. You know what is small change? What do you keep in the pocket? But they gave nearly $10 billion. Has anyone given 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000, 500,000? These people gave nearly 10 billion. How much is a billion? 1,000,000,000. This is what they gave, not small change, you know. What did they give for? For education, for health, for medicine, for the arts, for culture, for the humanities, to promote education and general welfare of the whole nation. And in the same survey, it is found Jews gave 38% of all generous big donations, 38% were Jews. How come? Because God said so. Abraham, I will bless you and your seed, and they will be a blessing. This is how they are a blessing. They gave liberally. Now, leaders in society. In America, a good proportion are in the Senate, that is in Parliament. MPs, House of Representatives, Senate is the upper house, House of Representatives the lower house. Of Supreme Court judges, so many of them are Jews. Who put them there? God, 4,000 years ago, says, your posterity will bless the people. You know how it is, Ivy League schools? Those on the eastern seaboard, originally founded by the Pilgrim Fathers and their descendants. And they would gain the name of Ivy League because they all built buildings and grew ivy that creeped along the walls and covered the walls. There's one common feature. They all grew ivy. You know what is ivy? It's a creeper, a tiny little leafy creeper. And they like to creep. It's quite decorative, quite beautiful. And all these, like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cornell, and one or two others. Most of the heads there are Jews. Amazing. And the top law schools like Harvard, Yale, and Stanford, the faculties, the teachers, a big percentage of them are Jews. What else? Jews in high administration, in high positions. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph, the favorite of Jacob, who had 12 sons. And he loved Joseph more than the rest because he was the son born of his favorite wife, Rachel. And he made him a coat of many colors. And the brothers got very mad with him and sold him, although they had planned to kill him. But then the eldest brother says, hey, don't do such a thing. Why not sell him and make some money? Again, that's a Jewish idea. Money, money, money. So he was sold into Egypt. Ah, dear friends, who is to guess? You get sold as a slave to Egypt, and he became a slave, servant, to rise to the prime minister of the whole of Egypt, a foreigner, a Jew. Head of the whole administration of the greatest power at that time on planet Earth was Egypt. And to have a ruler who is next only to the Pharaoh was Joseph. Now the story of it you all know. How he stood firm. As a man of God, he will not commit adultery with his master's wife. That is the story. And that story has got much application for us. So that is the story of Joseph. Another one who was sold, who was taken captive, exiled into Babylon, Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would serve the Lord and he would not pollute himself. And God raised him, made him 10 times smarter than the locals. And Nebuchadnezzar promoted him because he was so smart. And through 3 regimes, Daniel continued to be the prime minister. Amazing. In Persia, you remember the story of Esther and how the prime minister at that time, Haman, had a plan. He says to the king, "King, between you and me, we plan to kill all the Jews in one day." Queen Esther intervened and pleaded, and God intervened for them. And Haman instead was sent to the gallows, which he had prepared to hang Mordecai. Mordecai was the Jew in the royal court who had done a good deed for the king before, but was not remembered. Then he was promoted to be the prime minister in Persia. Disraeli in England. Do you remember him? His history in the 19th century. A Jew became prime minister of England. Kissinger, about 30 years ago, under President Nixon, became the ruler of America. You know, the Secretary of State has tremendous power, and he was it. After him came Albright, another Jew. And now we come nearer home. David Marshall, chief minister, you know where? You don't know now, but now you know. Now, dear friends, what are we driving at? The greatest promise of all. The greatest promise. You will be a blessing. And you will be a blessing to all the earth. Out of you will come the blessing. Who? Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus Christ came born of a Jew, lived as a Jew, and died as a Jew. Remember his story of, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is the record of Scripture. Today we are here because Jesus went to the cross for us, made a curse for us to bear away our sins and take away that curse for us. He is a blessing to us. No one else. Are you grateful? So, dear friends, the greatest promise, and our Lord is a promise-keeping God. Wonderful. Now we come to the end of tonight's discussion. How will the story end? Does God bless everybody and not the Jews? Do you know that over 80% of the Jews today are atheists? They don't believe in God. And God calls them to be his people and to make them a blessing to us. And we get all the blessing, but all the blessing is in the material and worldly sense for this present life. But God has a plan for his people. Please turn to Romans chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Romans. Just two verses, and this reveals to us God has not forgotten his own. While God has blessed Abraham, will he not bless the Jews today? 13 or 15 million Jews, as I told you, 85% are atheists. They don't believe in God at all. And those who do believe are waiting for the Messiah. To find a Christian Jew is extremely rare. We had a Christian Jew preach from this pulpit about 5 or 6 years ago. Remember him? Dr. Raymond Sachs. And he said he tried to convert his own people, his own relatives,
And he could not succeed even in getting one of them to come and believe. But thank God he believed. How did he believe? God opened his eyes. And there is a day when God will open the eyes of all the Jews. Where does it say so? Romans 11, 25 and 26. Romans chapter 11, 25. Here is the writing from the pen of a Jew, the greatest apostle among them, Paul the apostle said, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. It's not a total blindness. At the moment it is a veil, like a mist. They can't see through. Until the fullness of Gentiles be come in. What is the fullness of the Gentiles? The fullness of the Gentiles is interpreted as when there are enough according to God's plan of the Gentiles being saved, then the Jews will also be saved likewise. On that day, in that time, verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I read that verse again. It is an amazing verse and an amazing prophecy. This, despite that, the fact that majority of Jews today do not even believe in God. One day God will come and open their eyes and take away the mist. And so all Israel, verse 26, shall be saved. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law, to understand that God has a plan. And God does not forget his promise, for he is a God of truth, a God of faithfulness, and he does not forget his promises. The day will come soon, and we may look forward to that day when the Lord will open the eyes of his own people and they will see Jesus, Messiah, and they shall be converted. May that day be soon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.